Welcome to another episode of the American West Ham Podcast. After a win, I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we have Brawley in St. Louis. What's going on, my dude?
I'm doing very well. Excited that we finally get to talk after a win in the month of August. We've broken our August duck and 3 points in the bag, and I'm excited. How are you?
Man, I texted you right after the game, and I was like, I can't wait to do this podcast. It's so much better after a win. We can talk about all the great things the team did. We can touch on but not dwell on the negatives, and we can just have a fun hour-long episode.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's as you know, it's a lot easier to podcast after a win. People probably say the content is better after we lose, I think, but it's nice to not be negative. I will say it's just a whole lot easier to record after we've won.
Listen, man, negativity sells. Negativity is what people want to hear. People want to dwell in the misery. So, or at least after a draw, I would say is the worst. Because a loss, people dwell in the misery, and after a win, people are excited to listen. After a draw, people just don't care. So, win or lose, this is good for us, and obviously winning is much better. So, where did you watch the game this weekend?
Well, first, I want to say I apologize to the listeners if my audio quality isn't as good as it normally is. We had a little bit of technical difficulties with my Wi-Fi getting set up today, and I am now recording on my phone. So if the audio isn't as good as normal, I apologize. But to answer your question, I woke up. So as you know, but maybe other listeners don't know, I usually work on Saturdays 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and kickoff time is at 9 a.m., and I work 30 minutes away. So usually what I have to do is I wake up early, get dressed and ready to go so I can watch the first 30 minutes of the game at home, and then around the 30th, 35th minute, I have to leave to go to work. So I got ready, got out of the shower, and then watched the first 30 minutes. So I got to see the Lanzini penalty, which was good. And, well, we'll get into the game later. I won't say what I didn't see, but – to answer shortly is I watched the first 30 minutes at work and then tried to watch the rest of it at work.
Well, as you had Wi-Fi issues tonight, I had computer issues yesterday. So what I ended up having to do was steal your login for NBC Gold. So thank you, my friend, for saving me $80, at least for another week. And I had to go to my buddy Clay's house, who is a Chelsea fan, because my computer was dead and I didn't have my charger. So I missed the first 15 minutes, but I started from the beginning. So it ended up working out. I caught up at halftime and was good to go. Watched the first half on delay, second half live, and boy, I will say it was a little nerve-wracking at the beginning, but a great finish to the game.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start. I mean, the first minute, I mean, it was crazy. It went from one end to the other right in the first minute, and I thought we should have taken our goal a lot sooner than we did in the area in the first minute. But luckily, Lanzini gets whacked in the face and gets a leg-on-leg collision. And Mr. West Ham steps up, as he always does, and scores. And we're 1-0 up inside a minute, which you can't really ask for anything better than that. VAR didn't take too long to check it, which was good. And you can't be much happier with that in the first minute, can you?
Absolutely not. So let's, before we get into the game, let's go into the lineup real quick, because you said Mr. West Ham is back in the side from injury. So in the back, Fabianski, as usual, our rock. Our pairing in the defense was Ogbonna and Diop. Outside, Masuaku and Fredericks. Rice and Noble in the midfield. Yarmolenko, Lanzini, Anderson, and Allaire in the attack. So I guess the first thing I want to address between you and I is, what do you think of this Diop Ogbonna situation?
Well, it's interesting. Apparently, Pellegrini wants a left-footed center back to play alongside Diop, so that's why Balbuena's been dropped. It's interesting. I actually think Ogbonna had a really good game. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but he was the best man on set pieces for us, defending set pieces, and I thought he broke up a lot of the play. I actually thought he played really well, to my surprise. So I was pleasantly surprised. But if it were me picking the team, I would have had Balbuena in there.
Yeah, man. I was surprised to see Balbuena not start after last week. But The other take here is Masuaku. I thought he had a very solid game against Brighton, and I think he played well again this week. I think Masuaku is a much better player than a lot of people say. I don't think he's the left back. I don't think he's the best left back in the league. I'd like to improve his position. However, at the same time, I really do think that the last 2 weeks he's played well. But there's a question in our Q&A that comes into that later. And then also, Wilshire dropped for Mark Noble.
And Wilshire not even in the team. So, yeah, I mean, that was one extreme to the other. I didn't think Mark Noble was going to be ready to play this week. You know, when you come back from injury, usually you take a week on the bench and then you come back into the team. But, I mean, clearly Pellegrini trusts him to go straight into the fold, and he had a heck of a game. So, really disappointed about Jack Wilshire. Apparently, there's no injury there. It's purely there's too many players that are fit right now, and there's no room on the bench. Makes you scratch your head. Carlos Sanchez over Jack Wilshere. I mean, I don't know. So it makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other surprising, for me at least, was Yarmolenko starting over Antonio. I want to talk about Antonio later. However, for me, our best half against Brighton was the first half when Antonio was in. Our best half against City was the first half when, the second half when Antonio came on. So I think that Antonio has been a big, big player this season, and I really do think that he should start next week against Norwich. As we did see this week, again, like I said, are going to get into, I think Antonio has completely changed the game when he came on at half, and we ended up winning 3-1. So for me, he's been an essential player to this team, which has been, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but yeah. I think that's great for him to regain some of that form that he had in that final season at the Bowling.
Yeah, I think you meant to say the better half was the first half against Man City, right? Is that what you were saying?
Whenever he was on the field, that was 3 weeks ago. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't remember, but yeah. It was 3 weeks ago.
Don't want anyone to misconstrue what you're saying. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Antonio came off at halftime against Man City, and then the second half we got roasted by 4 goals. So that had to have been what you were trying to say.
Yeah, I think I got it mixed up. I think City, he came off at halftime, and then we got roasted, and then Brighton he started and we played better.
Flip-flopped it.
Yeah. So excuse me. Point of the story is, I think we played much better when I've seen Antonio on the field than without him. Is he the best technical player? Absolutely not. There was a play when he was running through the field yesterday, and he just took that massive wild touch. But there's some, what he adds to the game is he stretches the defense for me. So I
agree.
Go ahead.
Just to expand on that, I think you're absolutely right. Antonio is a difference maker for whatever reason right now. He changes the game when he comes on. So I don't see how you can keep him out of the starting 11 unless Pellegrini thinks that the best use for him is off the bench as a super sub to change the game. And maybe there might be some validity to that, because as you can see, when he comes on, he runs at people and he makes defenders scared. So maybe he's right. I don't know. But I think it'd be harsh on Antonio not to start him next week. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I think he has to. I think he definitely has to start next week. So let's get back into the game now. You talked about Mark Noble scoring the penalty. You said Lanzini got tackled. Just so that you're on the record, dive or no dive, officially a pen?
Oh, there's no way that's a dive. It was definite knee on knee, and then he even got a little forearm to the face. And if that's not a pen, I don't know what is. And if it wasn't a pen, VAR would have overturned it. So, 100% stonewall pen.
Okay, good. I agree. I just wanted to make sure that we're on the record saying that it was definitely a pen. A few other the opportunities was, how about, Hughes' miss?
Oh, was that was in the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. When all he had to do was direct it anywhere near the goal and he puts it wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see from the reaction on his face that he was a bit humiliated by that and he should have been doing better. And granted, it actually was a pretty tough finish when that ball's coming that fast across the area. I will say, because that would have put them 2-1 up, I think, at that point.
Yeah, it would have put
them. And we,
yeah, go ahead.
And we go on to win by 2. So, I mean, imagine if that goes in, how differently the game might have turned out.
Yeah, I think that would have been a momentum changer. I think I said to my buddy Clay as I was sitting there, right? I said, you know what, man? When he missed that, I swear I said it was almost fate. Not that it guarantees us a win or anything, but I said to myself, surely it's almost in the cards that we were going to win after they missed that opportunity. I felt like it was only right. However, I definitely did. I got too excited. That was my fault, and skipped over the Watford goal. And what happened there was they sliced it across the box, and then it was just a little dink pass onto Andre Gray from Will Hughes, and he slots it home with his right foot into the bottom corner across the net of Fabianski. And I thought it was just a breakdown in play. I really didn't even think that we were playing poorly. I just think that they hit us on the break and they cut through and took their opportunity.
It's a great goal. It's a fantastic goal. I had my eyes fixed on Mark Noble during that play, and he is screaming at everyone to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure he was screaming at whoever was playing on the left, which would have been Anderson, I think. Anderson and or Lanzini, and there was no help coming. So he was screaming at him, get back, get back, get back, and they're just jogging back. So and then as soon as the goal goes in, Noble starts sprinting at them, screaming at them, and that's what you want to see in a captain. So I was really happy to see that. It's just a really bad breakdown, and when you play in a team like West Ham, you have to be able to commit defensively. I understand that they're flair players and they're attacking players and they don't really want to defend. I get it. But at least Mark Noble's not going to let them get away with that without at least giving it to them and getting in their ear. But to go back to the goal, great, great pass from Will Hughes. Great Andre Gray playing off the shoulder of, I believe it was Masuaku or Diop. I can't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. And he just slides it in. And then that's a striker's goal right into the side of the net. No chance. He knows where the goal is and he doesn't even need to take a look and he buries it. So it's a great goal.
Absolutely.
I like Andre Gray a lot, actually. I watched him a lot when he was at Brentford. So I think he's a really good player, but, the attacking guys need to get back and pitch out on the defense. That's all I'll say.
Andre Gray was at Burnley as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. He went Brentford, Burnley, Watford, I believe.
Yep. Yep, that takes it back a little bit. Let's see. Then the next opportunity I want to discuss, because I jumped straight to the second half. I got too excited, folks. But a few.
That's what I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, the two more things in the first half I wanted to talk about was Allaire's attempted behind the back heel scorpion, whatever that was.
Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely incredible, and I guess that was almost a foreshadow of what was to come in the second half.
Yeah, it was really – I don't know how he got anything on the ball, but he did. And the commentator, I believe it was Tony Gale, said it brilliantly that it's the only way he could get anything on that shot at goal, and he did, and he forced Foster into a decent save. So I got out of my chair, though. I was ready to like, go nuts if that goal would have went in. But good save from Ben Foster, and I think that just about wrapped up the first half, didn't it?
The only other thing of note was in the 41st minute when Anderson's header that went off the post, off the corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yarmolenko, in a perfect world, he's going to be, like, anticipating that and not trying – because what I think he was doing, and I could be wrong, what I think he was doing was trying to be a nice guy and not deflecting the ball into the net.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like not stealing Anderson's goal. I really think that's what he was doing.
Just
attack it or at least anticipate maybe it getting saved or coming off the post. He obviously didn't do it and he just went right behind him. Unlucky. But Anderson was a really good header. I was surprised that Anderson could head a ball like that.
Yeah, it was a great flick one because it was curling back at him, and then he guided it back to that far post corner, and it just ricocheted off the post. Then back to where I was when I jumped ahead, got all excited. Will Hughes' absolute miss in the 50-some minute. That was crazy. I don't know if he was scared. I don't know if he was scared about potentially running into the post, but we were lucky he didn't fully commit to that, and that could have been, that could have been it. 2-1 going down.
Could have been game over. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know about game over, but I think momentum wise, it could have been game over. I will agree with you there. I think we got lucky there. And back to what I was saying, it almost felt like fate. It was like, okay, well, if they're going to give us this opportunity on the road, miss an open goal, then we have to capitalize. And thank God, finally, West Ham capitalized. Anderson, overtouch, kind of, sort of, took it to the byline, and then he just smashed it across the net back into the box, found Allaire perfectly, and he just rockets it home. 2-1 West Ham.
Yeah. You won't score an easy run for Sebastian Allaire, and what a pass, though. There was some really good build-up play in that, some really intricate 1-2 passing, mm-hmm. and Anderson just triple squares it, or triple exit, whatever platform you play your FIFA on, right across the floor, and then Allaire with the simplest of touches into the back of the net. 2-1, and just opens his account, just a weight off of his shoulders, a weight off of everyone's shoulders, I think, and you know, you pay $40 million plus for a striker, and it's game three, and you haven't scored yet. It starts to weigh on you a little bit, I think. But as fans, all we want to see is him score goals, and we finally get to see it. And just really good scenes in the away end. It looked like some good celebrations, and I was ecstatic.
Yeah, and our buddy was there, so he must have been going crazy as well.
Yeah, shout out to the Hollander on Twitter. I believe his name on there officially is the New Orleans Hammer. Brad Holland. I met Bradley, him in Vegas. Yeah. Great dude. Fantastic guy. I've been talking. I actually wanted to get him on the show, but he's traveling in Norway right now. He went to Norway, I think, and was unable to join us. But we're going to have Bradley on to talk about his experience at the game, because it sounds like our boy Baz hooked him up with a pretty good, cool experience for him.
Absolutely. Maybe if he can get him on back when he's in the States, because, I mean, it's still an interesting story to talk about. I absolutely love when people go to the games and then come on, like when Bobby was on from Boston. So yeah. He actually, like, FaceTimed us from, like, 3 in the morning, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I've already talked about Bobby from Vegas, but what a dude, man. We had such a good time. We're at the playing at the casino all night long, and just getting hammered, getting absolutely buckled. It was so much fun,
folks. Let me tell you what. For I know this is an audio medium, so nobody can see our faces as we're doing this podcast. But Brawley is grinning right now as he talks about Vegas. This man, Brawley had the time of his life at Vegas. I guarantee
it. Yeah, one of the best weekends of my life, honestly. And I really don't mean to sound braggy. Like, I don't want it to make it feel like, to people, if you weren't there, that, like, that counts for anything less. But it was, if there's an event next year, which it sounds like there's going to be, you have to try to go, because I know we knocked it at the beginning, but it really turned around, and I had so much damn fun out there, and I can't wait to do it again.
No, I hope I can join it with you. I'm not sure Vegas is the best place for me.
Yeah,
but no, I hope yeah, Brawley will keep me under control, folks. I hope to make it next year. So back to the game, because we just diverged a little bit. It was 2-1 when we last left off. And then, let's see, Allaire's second goal, which was the overhead kick off of the Antonio directed it toward goal, and then Foster, that goalkeeper, right?
Ooh. Yeah, Ben Foster.
Okay, good. Whew. Anyway, Foster ricochets it over to Allaire, and he puts it over his head into the back of the net, 3-1, and I was feeling pretty damn good. I thought we were playing well. 3-1 sealed it for me. I was not worried from there.
Yeah, and Antonio really unlucky not to score there. I think, without having the highlights in front of me, Foster saves it onto the crossbar, and then the crossbar falls. It either bounces or it falls right to Allaire, and then he puts it away with the bicycle kick over his head. And just, again, fantastic scenes. You love to see your big man get a brace in his first two goals, and just brilliant scenes. And I know I saw pictures of the away end, and you could see Bradley and Baz Cox just smiling in this picture that I have. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll show it to you if you haven't. It's hilarious, and they're just celebrating. And it's a great shot of them when the camera pans over to the crowd. So awesome stuff. I absolutely love to see it.
Yeah, so taking you through this goal real quick, they take the corner kick, and Antonio does a very, very powerful diving header. Foster kind of deflects it back up into the air off of the top crossbar, and then it falls right for Allaire to do his business there. And
not good, so I was right.
Yeah, you were right. Deflected it off the crossbar, and he just overhead kick inside the six to find the back of the net. 3-1 West Ham. And that was really one of the last real bits of the game. I guess the other part was Fabianski made a really, really good save. That was near post. That was a little risky in the 82nd minute. But aside from that, we pretty much saw the game out, which is not very West Ham-like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, when you see Carlos Sanchez coming on in the 85th minute, you know we're shutting up shop. So, we saw the game out, and Sanchez came on. He broke up play. He broke up a couple of passes. And so I still don't understand Pellegrini's fascination with him, but apparently he's worth having on the bench every single week. So take from that what you will. But yeah, 3-1, game over, and we leave Vicarage Road with 3 points for consecutive seasons.
Who's your man of the match?
We haven't done
man of the match tweets yet this year. I don't know. We're slacking on that front, so we're gonna have to bring that back next week.
Well, I when I'm at work, it's tough for me to even tweet anything about the game. So especially when I'm watching the game on my phone, I can't do other things. So my phone's getting blown up from people. I'm in all these group chats, and these group chats are just going mental. And I'm just having to, like, swipe up to, like, get rid of it, like, stay off my screen so I can watch the game.
All right,
so
folks, I can't even tweet. Brawley's nicely saying, Tony, tweet out, you lazy fuck, is exactly what Brawley's nicely saying there, folks.
Yeah, it's on you. If you want it to happen, it's on you is what I'm saying. But man of the match, I think the obvious answer is Allaire, and I can't really argue with that. He played a hell of a game. I think Antonio gets a shout for coming on at halftime and playing as well as he did, and I thought Lanzini had a really good game too, but my vote has to go to Allaire.
Yeah, I think obviously the two goals, Allaire. I think Anderson is a big shout as well. He was a part of the second goal. And obviously Lanzini did well to win the penalty. And then I believe Anderson was the one who took the corner kick. So, I mean, there's a lot of players that contributed. Defense held Watford to one goal. I don't think they played particularly poor. I don't think they played great either. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it was a very solid all-around performance and a very, very good result, 3-1. I'm very happy right now. Very happy, Hammer.
Real quickly, how beautiful were those away kits?
Oh, stunning. They're so crisp and clean. I even liked the Betway on it.
Yeah, it was the first time that we'd worn them, I believe. I don't think we wore them at any point of the preseason. I thought they looked absolutely amazing. And you're right, the Betway actually does look good on it. The Betway kind of does tie it all together. But it's one of my favorite kits ever, and I had to make sure I gave it some love because I got to see it for the first time.
Yeah, I think we played very well. It's not like it had the curse of the gray kit from last year.
Yeah, it's not our third kit. We still haven't played in our third kit this year, so I'm sure when we do, we'll lose. But speaking of kits, I know we've already talked about Bradley twice, but he got Andrei Yarmolenko's shirt, and I'm so jealous. I was so envious when I saw that picture. I know you've gotten a match-worn shirt in your days, but to get, like, my favorite kit of all time, a match-worn kit, that would be, like, the coolest thing ever. And I just think it's so cool that he got Yarmolenko's shirt. It was really nice of him to give it to our friend Brad. So that was awesome to see, and I'm extremely jealous of him.
Funny enough, this is the – it's not the anniversary because not the date – but it was Watford away where I got my match-worn jersey. So for anyone who doesn't know,
oh, wow.
I was at Watford away in, God, it was when I still lived in Oxford. We went to Watford
it
away.
Had to be the first season. We were at the first season at the new stadium, I think.
Yeah.
Because it was that kit.
It was the second half of the season of the first season at the new stadium. And it was after the game, and the players played not well. Not they didn't lose. I believe it was 2-2. I don't remember exactly. However, anyway, the players came over and started tossing their tops into the crowd, and Fuguli came over and tossed his about four rows back. Like, a lot of the players were handing them to kids in the front. Well, Fuguli decided that he was going to just toss his into the crowd, and I about jumped on the chair and snatched it out of midair. I felt like I was a goalkeeper, so that was pretty cool. So I have Sofyan Fuguli's game-worn jersey from the first year. It still smells. It was, like, damp, which was really gross.
Oh, I'm bad.
Yeah, it's not as, like, glamorous as people think. Like, I got it, and I was like, wow, that shit stinks. So I had to hang it on a hanger and, like, in my room, I had to put a fan on it when I was in Oxford because it smelled really bad. Just saying, for anybody, anybody who wants to know what it's like to get a game worn jersey, they really do stink and they're damp. It's not like, hey, here's a fresh clean one. So it was pretty cool. I had grass stains and everything. Anyway, however, I don't think people really want to hear about this game worn jersey. Anything else? Do you want to talk about the game?
Not really. I think 3 points, and we move on to Norwich. So hopefully. We can carry that momentum. Although I will say, going into the game, I was not feeling confident because how West Ham would it be a team with no points, no goals scored, have played
right.
really, really bad in their first two games, for them to go and lose to Watford? It would have been typical West Ham. So I think in the group chat that you and I are in, I think I said 0-0 when I said I was like, I just don't feel confident at all. This is either going to be like a 1-1 or a 0-0, and I was wrong, so that was awesome.
I think one more thing I want to point about, not just the game, but this weekend in general with football, is this season so far, there's only one team that has 9 points, and that's Liverpool. There's only four unbeaten teams, which is Liverpool, Arsenal. No, I lied. Excuse me.
Arsenal lost, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It's Liverpool. Man City has 2 wins and a draw. Leicester has 1 win and 2 draws, and Wolves has 3 draws. So there's only 4 unbeaten teams, and the pack is all on 4 points right now. So we got our loss out of the City out of the way. We played our bad game against Brighton, and we beat Watford away. So I'm not saying that anything crazy is going to happen. Like, I'm not making wild predictions because I was a little nervous how we played against Brighton. But I will say that results did go our way, and we're not crazy behind 3 weeks already. Palace beat United yesterday. Villa beat Everton. Chelsea struggled against Norwich. Arsenal lost against Liverpool.
Newcastle beat Spurs.
Newcastle beat Spurs today. Wolves drew against Burnley in the last minute of the game. So everybody's hovering around 4 points right now. So I wouldn't say like I feel great.
We're only... we're only off Champions League on goal difference, so that's take that for your positivity.
Yeah, so go to end this match week, we got 3 points, and we're going to end on a positive note that we are still in the thick of it. So I think that's enough for the game. We're going to take a quick break while we reorganize, and we're going to get our Q&A set up.
Hey guys, this is Jonathan Spector, and you're listening to the American West Ham Podcast with Brawley and Tony.
And we're back, and you just got to hear from our new friend, Jonathan Spector, who I had the pleasure of meeting out in Vegas. He was kind enough to record a soundbite for us. So, Jonathan, I really appreciate that. And it was really lovely meeting your wife, Olivia, by the way, as well. She's a lovely woman. Anyway, now to get into our favorite part of the podcast, for questions from our Twitter followers. So, Tony, you'll be reading them off this week, so go ahead and start us with the first question.
Yep, so the first question on my list is from the Green Street Hammers, so shout out to you guys, really love what y'all do, and that's funny enough, that's what they said to us. So first off, love what you guys are doing, appreciate that. What kind of squad do you want to see on Tuesday for the cup match? Come on, you Irons, West Ham fam, olas. So what are you expecting, Mr. Brawley, for the game on Tuesday that you seem to have quickly forgot about when you said, hey, let's do a Norwich preview? And I'm like, my man, we played Newport on Tuesday. So what do you want to see from the Newport side?
I mean, probably a mix of youth and a mix of starting quality. I imagine everyone who was on the bench against who did we just play, Watford, are going to be in the team. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you see all of those, and you probably see – your Wilshires, your Chicharitos, I'm assuming, the guys that also didn't make the squad, and then maybe your Coventries, your Hollands, maybe a few guys like that. A mix of youth and a mix of experience. I'm not one of those guys in this round going for a full starting 11, especially this early in the season. I mean, it would be cool to see, but I'd much rather rest a few guys, and we should still beat them, and then go play Norwich and play a full starting fresh 11 against Norwich. So a mix of seniority and youth, but still a good squad, and we should take care of them.
All right, so off the top of my head, obviously it's going to be Roberto. I assume that you're going to have a rotation in net. I hope not. I guess give him a chance, but I'd like to see Fabianski start. I can't imagine goalkeeper you're too tired from the week before, but I don't know for sure. Let's see. Left back, Cresswell, because obviously he's not starting because of Masuaku. Center backs, I'm thinking the new guy, Cardoza. Is that right?
Yeah.
With Balbuena, assuming, because it's been Ogbonna and Diop. On the right back, I'm assuming Ben Johnson or Zaba, because yep. Fredericks would rest. Up top, I'm going to go up there next because I'm trying to dwindle it down here. A Yeti and Chicharito. I'd like to see two strikers.
Okay.
And then I guess that means Yarmolenko, Snodgrass. How many do I have there? 4, 2, 2. So I need two more. Yarmolenko, Snodgrass, Wilshire, and Sanchez?
Yeah.
Could that work?
Yeah, that would be a full backup 11. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So that would be a 4-2 center mids of Wilshire and Sanchez. Outside, if one of them can go on the left, I'm not sure if they can, unless they both play right, but Snodgrass and Yarmolenko, and then two strikers, like a 4-2-2-2.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try that. Next question, I'll start with this one, though. This is from West_Ham_United, which is TJ Cowboy Hammer from Uranus. So shout out to TJ. Noble came back in the team for Watford, and we were a lot better. Seeing him shouting at players for not getting back and helping is what was missing in the first two games. Shame he's the only player with this mentality, and maybe others need to take a leaf out of his book. Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing you'll know is very consistent from the way that we talk about West Ham on this podcast is we love West Ham for hardworking players, not for talent, for people who want to be there, not for divas. So I think when Noble is in the side, and I think that's what makes him such a fan favorite, everybody knows he's 30-some years old, and everybody knows, I mean, he didn't play like he was 30-some this weekend, I will say. However, he is getting up there in age, but he also is one of the longest tenured players of any Premier League team. I think he broke it this weekend, didn't he?
He might have. I don't know.
I swear I saw that he is the longest tenured player at any club. So he loves West Ham. We call him Mr. West Ham. One of my favorite players. And yes, I think the team absolutely needs that energy and that type of mentality in the side, even if he's not your best player.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think I have a whole lot to add to that. But I'll just say I'll take 11 Mark Nobles or 11 Robert Snodgrasses over 11 Marko Arnautovic's. So all we want is a guy that's going to put 100% effort in and just give it to his teammates if they're not trying and call him out on it. So I totally agree.
Yeah. Okay. So next question, Jeremiah, Jake Carson from Green Street as well. So shout out to those guys for giving us two questions. That's Jake Carson_1755. 3 games into this might be too soon to tell, but give your assessment of for now so far. And then a quick follow-up before you give your assessment. Scott and Nick's account said, I haven't seen enough of him yet. Tuesday could be fun. So I guess the first question is, do you want to see him, or what's your assessment so far of Pablo Fornals? And then the second is, do you want to see him on Tuesday? Because I definitely forgot him when I was just making that side.
Yeah, you did. You definitely did. Fornals, I think it is too early to tell, but I think I've liked what I've seen. There's been anything that I haven't liked from him. I want to see him more. I definitely want to see him more frequently. And yeah, I think maybe instead of Carlos Sanchez, maybe put in Fornals in your lineup. And I would agree with that because I don't think we need two holding midfielders against Newport. But all saying that, they're probably going to go and score two or three against us now that I've said that. But, yeah, I think it's too early to tell, and I definitely want to see him in the lineup on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think I will agree with you. I think it's way too early to tell. I think the concerning thing for me, he was, as you would expect, he was a bit underwhelming against Manchester City, and I think that he was fairly invisible against Brighton as well. I don't think he played all that well, but I don't think he played extremely poor where I'm like, oh, well, this was a waste of $20 million. It's three games in a brand new league, you know what I'm saying? What did we say about Anderson on the pod last season when he got rubbed off the ball all the time, and then all of a sudden he balked up, and we were like, whoa, this dude's like a stud now, and he's been right. One of our best players. So I would like to see everybody just cool the brakes a little bit and give him a chance. I haven't seen anything too hostile, but I'm more so like a forewarning to just give the guy a chance.
Agreed.
Dave Sperry, he's St. Louis, right?
Yep, he's St. Louis guy. He broke his shoulder in Vegas, yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's wild. Shout out Dave Sperry. However, he likes SEC football, so him and Nick can shove it.
Yeah, he's a big Mizzou fan. Big, big Mizzou fan.
So for anyone who likes college football, SEC football, I'm a Big Ten guy. Anyway, while we all love Noble, why is it that the team need him to put the fight in the team? With the squad we have, we shouldn't need to have Noble get the troops going. Is this a MP issue or something else? So I'm going to let you tackle this one again as well. Do you think Noble is the one who leads the fight, and why does it seem like Pellegrini can't get the side going?
I don't think it's a Pellegrini problem. I think it's we have too many divas in the squad. I think it's more of we have more, I don't want to say foreign players, but we have guys that weren't born into the West Ham way and that sort of thing. So I think you have a lot of guys coming here on big money to collect paychecks, and maybe they don't give the 100% fight that we deserve. And I think Noble at least tries to pull it out of them every week. I just wish Jack Wilshere would do that when he's in the team, because I think he's capable of it, and he knows what we're about. So I don't think it's a Pellegrini issue, although I do think motivating players he could be a little better at, but I'm not in the dressing room on a weekly basis, so I don't know that exactly. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like Noble gets the guys ready to go, and if you look at our record, I know I say it all the time, if you look at our record without Noble in the lineup versus when he's in the lineup, it's a whole lot better when he's in there on a consistent basis. So, I don't know why that is. Hopefully, I think that's a good point you raised there, Dave. I hope we can figure out a way to get around that without Noble. But for the time being, it looks like Noble's going to be a week in, week out guy, and he's going to be rallying the troops every week.
And then Pork Steak Schmuck, who replied to the comment, that's PRKSTAKSCHMUCK. If you want to follow him, very new on Twitter, needs some followers, only got 9. St. Louis guy as well, and new commenter for us. So thanks.
Yeah, I don't know if I know who that is, but pork steaks are a St. Louis thing for sure. So that I knew straight away that there was a St. Louis guy. But I mean, have you ever had a pork steak? Random question. Have you ever had a pork steak?
Is pork steak kind of like pork pie in England?
No, it's like a pork, it's a piece of pork that's cut like a steak that you put on the grill. It's totally different from a real steak.
So it's like a pork steak, chop.
Kind of, sort of, yeah, kind of.
Okay, so folks, we're going to have to try this week. I'm going to have to try to find myself a pork steak.
Good luck. I don't know if you'll be able to find them out there. I'm pretty sure that's just like a St. Louis thing.
All right, so I think we need to have a food pod at some point too, and get a whole bunch of people. Okay, never mind.
We should do over the summer.
I don't want to give anybody else ideas. So I think next summer I might have to try and get a little cooking thing going. Anyway, like he said, agreed. Love him, but he ain't gonna be around forever. So it's talking about Noble. Hopefully, Rice is ready for the armband sooner rather than later. I feel like that's. I don't want to go into this discussion again, because I feel like we have this every single week about who the next captain's going to be or could be. But everybody keeps saying Rice. I would like to see him maybe in a few more years. That would be a lot of expectations on a young man at 20 years old.
Agreed. I don't need to add to that, but agreed.
Wobbly Knee, which is also Dodgy Patella on Twitter, Big cricket guy, so shout out Wobbly there. Yarmolenko, discuss. I can see other players keeping him out of the side, and then in January he might be leaving. Could be interesting. I'll start with this one. I think we drop him for Antonio next week. I think Yarmolenko is a very, very solid player. However, I really cannot see him starting over how well Antonio has played so far this season. So I definitely think Yarmolenko is a solid player and a great rotation guy. I'm not sure he came here and wants to be a rotation guy. However, I really, you got to put Antonio in the side, man. You really do.
And I think it's harsh on Yarmolenko, not what you said, what Wobbly Knee was saying there. I don't think he's been that bad. And you got to remember, he's coming off of a year-long injury.
Sure.
He's going to have some time to – I thought he played okay. There were some things in the game that I didn't like to see from him. He gave the ball away. He's definitely not as quick tracking back as Antonio is. But he did some good things. My only issue and concern with him is when – you know, defenders, he's just trying to cut in and get it on his left foot. So you know that. But he's got a hell of a shot on him. The shot that he got off in the first half was a bullet. It was just straight at Foster. So I think that's harsh on Yarmolenko, and I would be shocked if he was sold in the winter.
Okay, so I want to do a quick follow-up myself here. Would you agree Antonio comes into the side next week?
Yeah, it all depends on... If it were me managing the team, yes. But it all depends on if Pellegrini views him as the super sub, as the guy you bring on at 45, 50, 60, 70 minutes to run at your D and scare the crap out of them and just wear them down. If he doesn't think that Antonio is good enough from minute number one, then you don't start him. But if he does think that he can play the full 90 and terrorize a D for a full 90, then put him in there. If it's me managing the team, I'm going to start him because I think it's harsh on him not to at this point. But it just all depends on Pellegrini, how he views him, really.
I mean, but for me, I'm looking at the lineup again from this weekend. From the five players that play in the attack, like
Yarmolenko would be the one drop.
Yarmolenko would be the one drop. Not saying he was even bad. He just, Antonio's played better, in my opinion. And I think the side looked much better with him in there. Okay. Next is Wally World. You met Wally in Vegas as well, right?
Yeah, shout out Wally. Great dude. I had a couple of drinks with him and a really nice guy.
You say everybody's a nice guy. Anyway.
I mean, I wouldn't trash someone on this pod in person.
No, of course.
Everyone that I met in Vegas was really all amazing people. So, and it's nice to put a face with his Twitter handle.
Right. Okay, so Wally says, at the beginning of the season, I thought Noble would feature predominantly in cup matches. However, after an important 90 minutes against Watford, do we rest him against Newport and let him go again in Norwich? So I'll let you start this one. Are you resting Mark Noble and making sure that he's ready for Norwich?
Yeah, I'm not playing him this week. I probably wouldn't even put him on the bench. You probably hate that, but I don't want to put any more minutes in his legs than we have to. I think we can get by without him this week and save him for Norwich.
Tony Broly, disagree. Definitely, I want him to start the game. I want to see. I want him to go first 45 minutes. Yeah.
So you want to pull him off at halftime?
If we're up, yeah.
Oh, I disagree 100% with that. I don't like that. I don't see the point in that.
What, give him 45
minutes?
He's
34, 35 years old.
Mark Noble's not 35 years old.
Well, I don't know how old he is. If he's 32, I 32, I'll give him. And someone check that for me. I'll pull that up.
He's 32.
But he's 32?
I mean,
And you want him to play potentially, if you're not bringing him off at halftime and it would go to penalties – then you're going to need him for 120 minutes, and then you're going to play him again for another 90 5 days from then?
It's tough, because I just gave you my
lineup. And he just came back from an injury?
I just gave you my lineup, but I was reconsidering it after reading the question. I love what his fight that he brings to the game, and I think that was something that was missing against Wimbledon when we went out early in the cup.
I just don't think this is a situation that we need to play him. Not coming off of an injury. I know he played great, but I don't want to put potentially 180 minutes plus 120, 300 minutes of football in those legs in the space of a week. I don't think he needs that.
It's tough. I'm going back and forth. So I hear your argument, I hear their argument, and I hear the argument I just made 10 minutes ago when I put out the lineup. You know, I really agree with that with the two or three questions that we're reading is he brings that extra oomph to the side. And if they're complacent and don't take the cup that seriously, and we go out against Newport on national TV, it's on ESPN Plus, by the way, we'll get into later, it'll just be another cup embarrassment like Wimbledon away, and I'm not sure that I can take that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I just Newport are they're League Two? Am I correct? Are they League Two?
Yeah, they're League Two. They're fifth in the League Two table right now.
Yeah, there's and they went on a little run last year. I remember them seeing them on a little run last year because I think they went out to. I remember their stadium is Rodney Parade because that's like one of the coolest stadium names ever. But I think it was Man City. I think went there and they put in a hell of a game against them. But
yeah. So last year they made in the FA Cup, they played the Metropolitan Police in the round one. Wrexham they drew in round two, which forced a replay and beat Wrexham 4-0. And then in the third round, they beat Leicester at home. In the fourth round, they went to Middlesbrough, drew, forced a replay, and beat Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Man City 4-1. So yeah. That was that. And then let's see here. Newport in the EFL Cup, they beat Cambridge and then lost to Oxford.
Yeah, I mean – in a League Two team, we should not have any problem with, but tell that to Leicester last season. Obviously, Leicester learned their lesson. I just don't think Noble needs to play in this game. I'm sure he's going to want to, and I have no doubt about that he's going to want to play, but I'm just not ready, coming straight off an injury, to play 300 minutes, potentially 300 minutes in the space of a week. So,
and looking at Leicester's side running through, they started Iheanacho, Albrighton, Ozaki, Gezal, James, and then Funchess, Evans, Morgan, Simpson, Ward. So they started like half their starters, and there you go. Went out to Newport. So it could be risky. I don't know.
And one thing I wanted to mention while I was thinking about it is I wanted to give a shout-out to Ethan. His Twitter handle's at not yet but will be. He purchased a shirt from us, so we don't profit off the shirt. Well, we do very small margins, and what we make off of that goes into our fees and costs for running the podcast. So I wanted to say thank you to Ethan for buying a shirt. And if you're interested in buying a shirt, I have pictures of them. I will throw them up. And you just need to get in touch with me at Brawley Darbin on Twitter, and I will let you know how you can purchase one of those. But go ahead. While I was thinking of that, I just wanted to mention that. So thank you, Ethan.
Yeah, absolutely. Get that out now before we forget later. And Brawley's wearing one of the cool shirts right now.
Nothing
you can see. Okay.
Nope, you can't see it, but I am wearing one.
Denver, West Ham, Mr. Scott Davis. Shout out, Scott.
What up, Scott?
Are you happier with our left back or right back situation?
Like, is it like happier with one, or are we happy in general with our right back or left back?
Okay, so let's adopt the question. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Which situation are you more concerned about, or neither? Do you think the left back, are we in a better place with our left back competition or our right back? Or do they both need replaced in the next year?
Yeah, they both need to be replaced. Masuaku has won me over slightly. I think he is better than Creswell at this point in time, but I don't think that he is the guy that you want leading us forward. I know he just signed that big new deal, but I don't see him as a left back of the future. And then I also don't see Fredericks being the or Zaba being the right back of the future. So I think we need to address both of those positions. And hopefully Fredericks can come into these next couple of games and play really well. Talk about one thing that I didn't even mention that I wanted to say is, what on earth was he thinking when he played that ball back to the keeper from the midway line and put it out for a corner? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
The look on his face when he did that, I was like, you look out of your depth, man. You look like
deer in the headlights. But how often does that happen for West Ham? I mean, it just brings me back to, was it last year? Was it Zabo or James Collins? Do you remember when he played that header back to Adrian?
Off the top of my head, no, I don't remember.
Okay,
that.
Well, then I guess this is terrible podcasting if I can't remember off the top of my head either. Either way, how goalkeeper gaffes and defensive gaffes is very West Ham. So,
well, yeah, talk about gaffes and Adrian against Southampton. I was in Vegas, that was just so typical Adrian to do what he did, just bounce it off Danny Ings, I think it was, and into the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly. I just, very West Ham-like. So Fredericks being out of his depth, I thought he's played okay. I don't think he's played all that great, but I would say same against Masuaku. I think he's played much better than he has before, and he's stepped up a bit. But I don't think either of those guys, all the investment that we put into this team, I think that we've really not invested in our outside backs, and I really hope that does not come back to bite us later in the season, that we play very well offensively and when we have the ball, but then defensively is just a terrible liability and undoes all the hard work and investment that we put into the front half of the side.
Yeah, and Velvet Rebel at Velvet Rebel 1984 replied, "We have a left back?" So little sarcastic question. And then, by the way, shout out to Velvet Rebel because his name is Jason and he works at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip in Vegas, and a big West Ham fan, and he hosted us, like I said, in the last pod, and he just wanted me to mention the fact that if you are in Las Vegas for a West Ham game or any Premier League game, definitely go watch it at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip because he's the one that runs it, and he'll even take care of you if you're wearing West Ham stuff, and he's trying to get as many Premier League fans in the Hard Rock Cafe as possible on Saturday morning. So if you're in Vegas and you're looking for a spot to watch the game, go to the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip. Jason will hook you up.
Sounds like a plan. Like I said, I got to get me to Vegas, but I'll have to take you with me. Next question, Lena Star, and that is Lena Star XXX. And she says, do you start Connor Coventry in Holland on Tuesday or put a more experienced team in what could be a tricky tie?
What up, Lena? I said it earlier that you could put in Coventry in Holland. I think I actually said those two by name. It's tough for me. I think if there's a game to do it, this would be the one to do it in. But I like the idea of the second string 11 from the guys that make the bench go out to play. I think I like that idea more. So I'm more of putting a more experienced team out there, but giving the main guys some rest.
So also Scott, who asked an earlier question, replied to her and said, I understand Pellegrini isn't allowing Haaland out on loan until after this match, so I expect to see him feature. So I guess that must be some information there. So I guess we can probably assume to expect that Haaland will be featured in this side. And
yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, I would say that he'd probably either that or on the bench, because if they're waiting, then obviously he plays against Newport and then goes out on loan.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Lewis John the Trout, and that is at Rice Little P. Was Jack Wilshere, instead of Wilshere, just rested yesterday, or is the club covering up another injury? Cheers. Do you think that they're covering up another injury?
I think you'd have to ask X this question, but I'm 99% sure that is not the case, and it was purely tactical. So I do not think the club are covering up an injury. I think it's just a purely tactical move.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, but I also, I'm not going to say they were covering up her injury, but I will say they could be covering up injury of the mind, because the last two games, he is, I know it's preseason, and teams play later in preseason, and it's not the same competition as the Premier League, but I thought he played extremely well in the preseason. He looked like a brand new Jack Wilshere, and then he just did not bring it into the first two games, in my opinion. I don't think he's been extremely poor, but again, it's kind of like a common phrase you'll hear me say on the pod. I don't think he's been extremely poor, but I just don't think that he's shown what he really can do like he did in the preseason. So I would really like to think that maybe they said, hey man, don't travel, go stay home, get your mind right. We're going to have the cover here. We're going to put Noble back in the side and come back to training ready to go next week, ready to play. So I'm hoping that's the case. I'm not going to say cover up an injury. It almost reminds me of Markel Fultz. For any of my basketball listeners here who used to play for the Sixers, who was a number one draft pick in the NBA and ended up being one of the biggest flops of all time because he turned into a head case. And that's got to be one of the toughest things when you can't even get your mind right psychologically. So maybe that's what it is. Jack Wilshere needed a mental rest, get himself ready, and we'll see a brand new Jack Wilshere next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Try to be positive.
And hopefully Hernandez is okay too. I think I saw somewhere that he was sick again. Or I don't know if he was just dropped too, but I would like to see him as well. All right, go ahead. Next one.
Last question, and this is from America, but that's spelled extremely different. AmerikA. That's not Merrick on Twitter. Do you think Frederick has been up to par this season?
We kind of just talked about it. He's been okay. I expect more of him, and hopefully he can get better, but I don't think he's been at his absolute best this season.
No, I was going to agree with you there. I think that he's been good enough. I don't think he's really been a problem, but again, I'd like to see more contribution from our outside backs. I don't think Masuaku... I guess part of the problem with Masuaku that I was watching against the Brighton game is... I said it last week from the angle I was at. It seemed like he had two runners on him almost the whole second half of the game. So it'd be really hard for him to contribute going forward when he knows he has to track back and cover two players because he didn't have much defensive help. So I guess the only thing I could say about our outside backs is maybe they don't have the ability or the instructions to move forward, but I'd like to see more contribution and interplay from our wingers tracking back and giving our outside backs a different option to move forward just to mix up the opposition a bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then we did have one more question. This is from my friend Tony, who lives in Tampa now. That was his personal account, at TONUCHO15, and he asked. He's a Newcastle guy. Asked, who would you guys give an 8 or higher rating from the match against Watford? So who would you grade at an 8 or above for the Watford match out of 10?
Noble and Aller. I think that's it for me. I think Antonio played well, but he didn't play long enough to get an 8.0. I thought Anderson played well, but I would maybe give him a 7.5. I don't think he was like extremely exceptional. I think if he nailed home that header, I think he would have gotten it. But yeah. So I would say Noble, with his solid work in the midfield, just energizing the team and being there, seemed like he did very well with his passing, was very integrated into the side. And then, obviously, Allaire scored 2 goals, so you have to obviously give him a fairly high rating. And then, like I said, Anderson, 7.5.
Yeah, and I'd add Lanzini to that. I'd give it Lanzini an 8. I thought he was really good, and he won us the penalty, so I give him an 8. And I give Allaire probably a 9, and then Noble probably an 8 as well.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I don't have any more questions on my phone, so I guess that's going to be it for that. We're going to regroup one more time, and we're going to do a Norwich and Newport comment preview. Welcome back. Brawley here, and Tony, we have 2 games this week. We have Newport County in the Cup on Tuesday, and that is at 2:45 Eastern United States time, and that is on ESPN Plus that you can get for $5.29 after tax. I highly recommend. I think I've said this plenty of times. I watch some of the Championship and League One games that are on there on Saturday mornings when West Ham's not playing, even if I just have it on the background. And so $5 times 12 is $60 a year, and you get all kinds of amazing content. So, and you can get all the Carabao and FA Cup games. Well, not all of them, but most of the ones that involve big teams. Anyway, long story short, you can watch that for all of our American listeners. And then on Saturday, West Ham is playing at 10 o'clock Eastern against Norwich City, and that is on NBC Sports Gold. So either purchase yourself Gold, where they have the, what's it, $80 package that comes with Soccer Saturday and Match of the – no, not Match of the Day. What's Sky's?
They do have Match of the Day, but it's different. It's Goals on Sunday and then – Soccer Saturday.
Yep, Soccer Saturday goals on Sunday, and or you can get the $49 version, which just has the games, or get yourself a friend who is kind enough to let you borrow their login. Thanks, buddy, again. And so that you don't have to spend $80, and you can chip in and give them some money eventually as well. Let's start with Newport County that we already kind of talked about earlier in the podcast. They were the giant killers last year. Newport County again took out Leicester and in the Premier League, Middlesbrough in the Championship, and then lost 4-1 to City. But they scored, so that was pretty cool too. And then again in the EFL Cup, which is the competition we play them, they beat Cambridge and lost to Oxford. So a little battle of the schools there. How are you feeling about Newport County?
First of all, the game is being played on my birthday. Tuesday is my birthday, so please do direct your happy birthday tweets to me on Tuesday. I would greatly appreciate it. But in all seriousness, we already previewed the game enough in the questions, I think. So you guys already know my thoughts. I think score prediction-wise, I'm going to go 3-0 West Ham. Hopefully it should be easy-peasy, a walk in the park, but we all know it doesn't usually work like that. But I'll go 3-0. Hopefully that's a conservative 3-0.
I'm going to be a little bit more negative here. I'm going a 1-0 win. I still think we'll win.
Oh, God.
I know. I think we eke it out. I hope we smash them. I hope it's like 6-0. But, yeah, I think we play them tough. I'm just scared of a repeat from last year. And then Norwich. We play on the weekend. How are you feeling about that game, especially after we manhandled Watford coming back home? I'm feeling pretty good. I want to know. I'll let you start again.
Well, Teemu Pukki is the real deal. I loved watching him play in the Championship last season. I think he's a hell of a player, and he's no secret anymore. So the key to stopping Norwich is stopping Teemu Pukki, and surely Sam Byram's going to come on and score against us. I'm sure that'll happen. That'll be just amazing to see. But as far as that goes, I think we will win. It's a home game. And I'll go for a 2-1 West Ham victory in the game against Norwich. And for those American listeners who are new, I don't know, but it's not Norwich. So please don't say Norwich. That drives me insane.
Norwich.
That W is silent. It's just Norwich. So please don't say Norwich. It just drives me insane when people do that.
It's like when Nick has people mispronounce a Balkan name. So,
yeah. A jetty. Can we see a jetty yet, please? That a jetty guy?
To confirm, it's a yeti, right?
I believe that's correct pronunciation. And by the way, a slight off-topic conversation here, but Adrian Durham of Talk Sport was saying it drives him insane when commentators try to correctly pronounce names. So like a yeti or Allaire, it drives them insane when commentators try to go out of their way to correctly pronunciate their names. And I think that's just a load of crap. He thinks that every name should be anglicized and every name should be spoken well in English. Like De La Feu is not how you actually pronounce his name. I won't try to say it, but anyway, I just thought that was insane that Adrian Durham is annoyed at commentators for trying to correctly pronunciate names, because I actually appreciate when commentators do that.
Well,
so anyway,
he's probably one of those dickheads who said Chicharito. So, good God!
Yeah, and
it's Chicharito. It's not hard. It's not even hard to say Chicharito. Yeah. It's not hard. It's not.
I was listening to more than just a podcast. So shout out to Nigel and Sean and those guys. But Nigel, no, not Nigel. I'm sorry, Sean. Trying to pronounce names just makes me want to rip my hair out, because he says Chicharito, and I hope you know this is all in banter, Sean. We very much like you guys over More Than Just a Pod, but Balbuena and Chicharito, and there was another one that I can't remember on this latest episode he mispronounced, and I was just like, oh my days, I can't believe that he pronounces names like that. But anyway, that's just a bit of banter.
I just listened for Nigel's slightly over the line impersonations when they read international. Gosh. Slightly over the line, Nigel.
The Greek woman one is my favorite Chinese woman. that one it is hilarious. I will say it's fucking hilarious.
It's hilarious. Okay, that was a terrible joke. Anyway, that sounds like enough for the podcast. I'm going to
need a soundboard.
Yeah. Well, if we sell some more shirts, maybe we can get a soundboard. Folks, if you want to get a shirt, Brawley's going to talk to you about that, all that good stuff, because I usually mess it up about shirts and emails. So, Brawley, take it away.
Go see our website, www.AmericanWestHamPodcast.com. We got some great content going on there. You can follow us on Twitter, at WestHamPodUSA. My personal Twitter is at Brawley Darbin. Tony's is at Tony Clark Dupe.
Yeah, also, Brawley's going to tell you about why we keep putting music at the beginning. That's not our theme song. We're trying to do something new and fun.
Oh, yeah. So at the beginning of every show, so for instance, this week we are doing an Elton John song. So I hope you guys all got the joke on that one. It's my favorite Elton John song. By the way, I went and saw the farewell tour that he did in America. It was phenomenal. So this is my favorite Elton John song ever. But we've decided that our theme song at the beginning and end, we could just cut it down to do one or the other. And I think it shows a little bit more of our personality to do the songs at the beginning of the show. And we run them for 31 seconds roughly. So if your music isn't your thing and you just want to hit that 30-second skip button, go ahead and do that. That'll take you straight into the podcast. So either way, if you like the songs, then great. If not, just skip it and you'll go right into the pod.
Right.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Nope. Just take it away.
Yeah. Yeah, and go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, please. That helps us reach more people. And if you want to send us an email with some feedback, you can send it to AmericanWestHamPod@gmail.com. And that'll do it for the week. Signing off from St. Louis, Missouri, I'm Brawley Darbin. Signing off from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Tony Clark over there. And we are saying goodbye, and hopefully we are talking to you next week after 2 West Ham victories. So we will see you later, guys.
Come on, your eyes.
Now this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow, iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd, let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the gold, scoring 100 plus goals like Paolo Di Canio. So kick it off with the homies, known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Said I'm forever blowing bubbles. And my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast. Y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey, I believe it. I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting. Set it up like we're penalty kicking. 57,000 people packed. Hear the fans shout from the back. Take the ball and then we all attack. Make opponents feel the hammer crack. Wild nights, highlights, stats. Tony got you covered on that. Brawley got the stories and the facts. Together everything is down packed. 3-time gold winners, but now it's time to get another cup. West Ham fans stand up. West Ham fans stand up. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Said I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey.
Big wins, big games, big moments, big rewards. Absolutely. And huge disappointment. All season, promotion demanded by West Ham. On a sunny afternoon in May at Wembley, promotion to the Premier League has been delivered. Ricardo Bassey, one of the January arrivals, with the biggest goal he will have ever scored. And West Ham, Wembley winners again for the first time since 1980. But more significantly, back in the Premier League.